Okay. A man and his family had just been to a Sunday morning service. And on the way to a restaurant for lunch, the man complained about the sermon. Hope you guys aren't going to today. He complained about the traffic on the way to the restaurant. And he complained when he got to the restaurant about the length of the queue. And I thought this was supposed to be fast food. Eventually, he got served. He took the food back to the table. And he bowed his head and gave thanks to the Lord for the food. And then he started to dish out the food. As he did so, his young son said to him, "Dad, you know, after the service you complained about the sermon. And on the way to the restaurant you complained about the traffic. And when we got to the restaurant you complained about the queue. Did God hear that?" And the father looked at the boy and says, "Yes, he did, son." He said, "And Dad, when you gave thanks for the food, did God hear that?" And he looked at him and he said, "Yeah, he did." And the little boy said, "Well, which one did God believe?" How many of us have done that before now? It's quite a sobering thought. And today we're going to be looking at Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. And what I'd like to do is read from verse 1, which Harold spoke about last week. I'll be looking at verses 14 through to 23, but I'd like to read through the full 23 verses, because my sermon is running on from last week. So, chapter 7, verse 1. "The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, 'Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with unclean hands?' He replied, 'Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men.' And he said to them, 'You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honour your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban, that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that.'" Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these things comes from outside. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." So, as Harold discussed last week, over the centuries, the Pharisees had burdened the people, the Israelites, with not only the commandments of God, but also commandments that they'd added. And over over 1500 years, these add-ons and add-ons became traditions. And we today can find it quite easy to judge the Pharisees and those earlier Jewish people. We, fortunately, have had the opportunity to read both books. They've only had the first book. So we can quite easily read and say, well, how did they not understand what Jesus was saying? But we have to remember that the Pharisees actually thought they were doing good. They thought they were trying to govern a people and help them to live godly lives. Where in fact Jesus turns round and says to the people that rather than drawing closer to God, the rules and the regulations were pushing people further and further away. So it's quite easy for us to judge the Pharisees and to judge the earlier generations of Jewish people. But what about us? Don't we have traditions? If Jesus was to look into our hearts, what would he see? I read recently about someone who was eating muesli for breakfast when he found what he thought was a slightly larger than normal sultana. Fortunately, he examined it a little bit closer and realised that it was a dried up lizard. It must have been quite a large sultana. And the company who had sent the muesli were fined heavily, because it had come from abroad, and they were fined heavily for not taking enough care and attention regarding their product. And we've probably all heard about people who's found this or found that in their food. I remember reading a few years ago about a woman who found a dead mouse in a box of cornflakes ever since I've looked as I'm pouring. And, you know, people find bugs and beetles in their bags of salad. I keep telling my wife I don't like salad, there might be bugs in it. But such stories can make us feel quite queasy. You know, what goes into our mouths can be quite worrying. But what comes out of our mouths can be just as bad, if not worse. And Jesus, in this passage, is saying that we should be more concerned about what comes out. Not only out of our mouths, but our actions, our thoughts, our feelings towards others. And we should worry more about our hearts than what we're actually eating or taking in. Think of this for a second. How would it be if we were fined every time we said something about somebody else that was wrong? Or if we were fined every time we had an evil thought? I can't stand that person. Don't wind me up. You know, we do it so often. But would we be so blatant if we were fined every time we had these thoughts? Or every time we said something? And I challenge you, even if it's only for one day, prepare yourself for one day and monitor how many times in that one day that you have a bad thought or you gossip about somebody. And have some change, say 50p, and put it into an envelope every time you have a bad thought or you say something. You will be surprised how much you collect at the end of the day. I challenge you. And if even more, if you want it to be really exact, invite your children to take part. Because they'll pick up on it. Get your kids together and you know, take part in it for a day. And you'd be surprised at how much you will accumulate at the end of that day. I've done it. The spread of swine flu recently led us all to a situation where we were forced and told that we must wash our hands every so often throughout the day. I don't know what's happened with the swine flu. It came and went, and there was no pandemic as such. But the breaking of bread services in churches was deemed a health risk. So much so that churches, i.e. the Catholic churches and the Anglican type churches, were all told that whoever was in charge of taking the Holy Communion had to make sure that their hands were washed. And it affected our church as well. You know, we no longer take the cup and share the cup. We now have the individual glasses. And I would never dream of not washing my hands before I gave out the bread and wine. And it's not a bad thing. You know, we do need to be concerned about personal hygiene and cleanliness and the spread of viruses, etc. But can you imagine if health and safety was suddenly to be in charge of the way we do things in church? What would it be like in 20 years' time? I mean, the breaking of bread has changed from, you know, since when I first came to this church to as it is now. 20 years' time, we may be taking the bread and wine in tablet form, you know, and we dish out blister packs. I thought that the taking part in the bread and wine was about stepping out in faith, knowing that Jesus will heal and cleanse. But who knows what it would be like in 20 years' time? You know, we can look back at the Pharisees and see all the add-ons that they gave to the believers or to the people. What will it do to our bread and wine service? What will they think of it in 20 years' time? Or 50 years' time? The cleanliness, the tradition of washing hands and making sure that everything is germ-free may override the real reason why we're taking the bread and wine. You know, Personal hygiene is a great thing, but it does nothing for the purity of the soul. You know, in this country, we may not wash our hands before we always eat food. Some countries you do have to. But you know, we will go shopping and we'll buy a bag of crisps and we'll eat the crisps there and then. We won't think, where's the nearest restroom? I'll have to go and wash my hands first. We'll just eat. You know, and we all like to wash. You know, we shower, we bathe regularly. We all wear, you know, our own deodorants, perfumes, etc. We all wear clean clothes, particularly in hot, sticky weather. You know, we change more often. We all like to look good and presentable. Somebody commented on how well I look today. Thank you. But it's great to look clean, healthy, presentable. And I don't want you to take this personally. But can we say the same for the insides of us? You know, God, I like to dress in a shirt and pants, you know, as I'm preaching the word, because that's how I feel I ought to stand at the front and present Christ. But if I was to come up here and preach in a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, I don't think that would bother God, because he would be looking from the inside. Jesus is not concerned about my hands or how I look. He's concerned with what's coming out of here. Am I just giving him lip service? Or am I practicing what I preach? As he says in verse 15, nothing outside a man or woman can make them unclean by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a man or woman that makes them unclean. And what are these things that's inside that makes us unclean? Well, verse 21 doesn't mince words. It's quite a list of them, quite a nasty list. Evil thoughts, and it starts with evil thoughts. Because that's where the problem begins. It starts off as an evil thought. Then it can lead into, if we allow it, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. And every one of us is capable of any of those things. It is easy to clean up the outside. But in truth, how many of us can say that we are clean inside from that list? We all know the line given to children. We've probably all said it. We may have had it said to us. You swear like that again and I'll wash your mouth out with soap and water. I've hold my hands up, I've actually had it done. It's not nice. But I assure you, I didn't swear in front of that person again. Others maybe, but never that person again. And of course, in a literal sense, it doesn't work, does it? You know, we can wash our mouths out with soap and water. We can wash our kids' mouths out. Well, no, we probably couldn't today. But we can wash our hands, faces, bodies. We can shower 50 times a day if we wanted to. But that wouldn't wash our hearts. And we've got to remember, it doesn't matter if we put on the mask on a Sunday morning. How are you? Oh, I'm fine, thanks. How are you? You know, we can lie to one another, but we cannot lie to the Holy Spirit. We're only deceiving ourselves. We need Jesus to cover the areas of sin that we struggle with. Only He can rid us of the filth that we can try so hard to be rid of or free from. But we are human. But He is not. He is our Creator. He is our Redeemer. He is our salvation. And He wants to come in and spring clean us. But we've got to allow Him to come in. He doesn't force Himself upon us. We have to allow Him to come in and do His work. You know, quite often there are times when, like the Pharisees, we are too quick to make a judgment on someone or something based on how they may look on the outside. You know, all that glitters is not gold. There was a widow who had three young children. She ran a small bed and breakfast establishment that was just down the road from a hospital. One summer evening, there was a knock at the door. She opened it to see a truly awful looking man standing on a doorstep. His face was red raw. It seemed swollen and lopsided. But she remembered that he had a very pleasant voice. And he said, "Good evening, do you have a room for the night? I have to be at the hospital very early in the morning. And nobody around seems to have any vacancies. I guess it could be my face. I know it looks terrible, but my doctor says that with ongoing treatment it will improve." For a moment she hesitated, but then decided to offer him a room. And after the evening meal, she began to talk to him, and it didn't take long to see that there was something different about this man. He talked and he played with the children, and they responded happily. He told her that he was grateful that there was no pain accompanying his disease, which was apparently a form of skin cancer. He told her that he was a Christian and that he thanked God for giving him the strength to keep going. He said the Lord was the captain of his life and the master of his soul. The next morning, as he was leaving, he asked, "Could I come back and stay again when I next have to have treatment?" He paused and said, "Your children made me feel at home. Grown-ups are bothered by my face, but children don't seem to mind." She said he was welcome to come again, and on his next visit he arrived with little gifts for the children. And in the months that followed he came often, and there was never a time that he didn't bring little gifts for the kids. And this widow often thought of a comment that her next door neighbour had made on the first morning as he left. And she said to her neighbour, "You didn't put that man up that night, did you? Last night, did you?" She said, "Oh, I turned him away. Oh, a man with a face like that could be bad for your business." Well, she thought, maybe I did lose the odd booking or two. But I know our family will always be grateful to have known him. From him we learned what it is to accept the bad without complaint, and to accept the good with gratitude. That man was ugly and unclean on the outside, but on the inside, he was filled with the presence of God. And that is what God wants for you and for me. to be pure of heart. And we need to be careful not to allow earthly traditions and customs to rule our lives. Now I've asked Jamie to play a track from a Michael Larson CD that hopefully will, well, I believe it sums up the message of today. So track 8 please, Jamie. track. So you see, the world wants us to look good on the outside, but God wants us to look good on the inside. And if we look good on the inside, then whatever we do, whatever we say, however we can help our neighbours, our friends, our family, if we're doing it from the inside out, then surely they're going to see something different about us. And I've been blessed with an opportunity. I've had a recent opportunity to be able to witness to a relatively young man on our estate who's basically is dying from liver kidney failure basically, and he came round and did me a favour. He used to be a wash and repair chap, and he used to live around the corner from me on Dudley's Road. And then shortly after we moved on to the estate, he moved on as well, and he was great then. He was in good health, and I hadn't seen him for several years. And then when I knocked on to ask his daughter to ask him to come round, he came around, and I was shocked at the difference in this man. And both Sandra and myself were really touched that he wanted to help us out in this situation that we had. And an opportunity arose for me to gain access to his house and his family. You know, he wanted some bits and pieces doing that he was no good at doing. And I had a couple of days free from work, and I went round and I did this work for him. But each time before I went, I prayed that the Lord would grant me an opportunity to speak to the individuals, not just Mike. And he granted me those opportunities, and I was able to speak and quite candidly ask his daughters how they felt about the situation with the parent, with the dad, and I was able to pray with his wife, and also to pray with Mike. And sometimes we are afraid to go forth and say, "Look, I'd like to pray with you," or "I'd like to pray for you." And we can quite easily say, "Oh yeah, I'll pray for you," and we'll walk away. Why not pray there and then? Why go away and pray about it? You know, if the person says, "Well, I'd rather you didn't," then you won't, or you don't. But when I prayed with them, I came out feeling on top of the world. And I did the jobs. And he came round the other night, you know, to ask how much I wanted and whatnot. And he was taken aback because I didn't want anything for it. It was my opportunity to shine as a Christian. And hopefully, you know, speak volumes about the God that I follow. And I'd like to believe that God is changing me and my heart from the inside out. And if we pray that he will provide us with opportunities, he will. "These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." That was highlighted to me. When God looks at my heart, is that what he sees? That I'm far from him? Is that what he sees in your heart? I hope and pray not. I hope and pray that when he looks at our hearts, he sees a people that wants to change, that wants to allow him to work within us. Way back in the 13th century, St. Richard of Chichester wrote a prayer. In the 20th century, more or less in its original form, that prayer became a song in the musical Godspell. Anybody know it? Probably do. No ideas? Let's see if you recognise it from this. Thanks be to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits which you have given us, for all the pains and insults which you have borne for us. Most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that's the prayer I want to pray today. My brothers and my sisters here, for those who don't know you, may they come to know you. Lord, I pray that our eyes, the eyes of our heart, will see you more clearly. And in our hearts, Lord, we want to love you more dearly. And then we want to walk, Lord, with you more nearly, day by day. Lord, we cannot run before we learn to walk. So we don't pray for the future, Lord, we pray for today. Do a work in us, Lord, today. Grant us an opportunity today to shine as you want us to shine. Help us to draw nearer to you. Help us, Lord, more often to allow you in, to spring clean, wash out, restore our hearts. Change them, Lord, as you want to change them, so that we shine for Christ from the inside out. And others will see your glory, your love, your compassion, your mercy through us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for the works that you have begun in our lives, and the works that are continuing and will never stop until we meet with you face to face. Bless us all today, I pray. In Jesus' worthy and most precious name.